Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Look, life gets tough for everybody. And, you know, the ups and downs can take a toll on your mental health. Thankfully, BetterHelp is here, a new sponsor of the ALN podcast, available worldwide. And it's available for you to reach out to somebody to have some chats with about what you're going through. You know, it's like a weekly therapist that you can schedule and have through video and phone sessions, also available on your desktop, mobile, web, Android, and iOS apps. You can send messages 24/7, 365 to get matched with a counselor who's right for you, professional and affordable counseling, because we all need it. You know what I'm saying? I just started getting into therapy, and it's changing a lot of stuff for me. You must be 18 or older to join. We have a custom link for you, betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. And you sign up. It's proactive mental health. It's not a crisis line. Financial aid is available. The expertise in this network is locally available in many areas. But regardless, if it's not close by for you, again, video and phone sessions are available. And it's easy to change counselors if you're not happy with the one that you get matched with. But I highly recommend it. And again, betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Find a professional and affordable counselor for you to just chat with and, you know, navigate through the tricky waters of life, because it can get a little bumpy out there, as Mariah Carey once said. I don't know if she said that, but hey, it's even gotten bumpy for her. betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight and start treating yourself to some help. Some mental help. We all need it. Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. I had a great, great weekend. Man, was in Buffalo. Shout out to everybody at Helium Comedy Club, Sean, Brandon, Tyrone, and all the cast and crew of the Helium Comedy Club in Buffalo. First time there, had a blast. Shows were awesome. Went to Niagara Falls, annoyed some tourists, got some facts, thought about jumping, didn't. So I'm still here, baby. But the shows are amazing. Thanks to everybody that came out. And I'll definitely be coming back for sure. Got to hang out with my boy Chris D'Elia while I was out there. It's always fun when comics get to meet up in a city that they just, you know, never thought they'd be in at the same time. And we kicked it for a couple hours at a sports bar, which was a blast. And then last night I went to the, yesterday I went to the Seahawks-Cardinals game in Arizona. Shout out to my Seahawks for pulling out a big victory. We did lose some key players, but fucking what do you do? That's football. And then I opened for the Goo Goo Dolls last night at the Van Buren in Phoenix. Goo Goo Dolls crushed it. Show was fun. Great venue. Shout out to Steve and the boys for putting that on. And that show started the 20th anniversary Dizzy Up the Girl tour that the Goo Goo Dolls are about to embark on across the states. I think like 20 or 30 dates. And that's who today's guest is, the Goo Goo Dolls. Oh, baby, John and Robbie, 20 years of Dizzy Up the Girl. These guys have been on before. John's been on once solo, but it's always a blast. I mean, just great stories from the road and just great conversation. Just good conversationalists and a lot of joking. And we even played a game that Brad and I made up at the end called Goo Goo For You. That's a all Goo Goo Dolls trivia game in which we see how well the guys know the band. So an amazing podcast and conversation. And again, the tour has just started, so go see the Goo Goo Dolls live on tour. Tickets at googoodolls.com for all their tour dates. Follow them on social media at Goo Goo Dolls on Twitter. I think it's Goo Goo Dolls Official on Instagram. Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter. Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Tour dates. This Wednesday, I'll be in Boston at Live Laugh Boston. I'm sorry, for one night only. I cannot fucking wait. It's one big show at Boston. Laugh Boston, October 3rd, 8 p.m. Tickets at adamraycomedy.com. And then next weekend, October 11th through the 13th, I'm going to be at Stress Factory in New Jersey. New Brunswick, New Jersey, October 11th through the 13th. Stress Factory, tickets at adamraycomedy.com. Brad Williams, this Thursday through Saturday, will be at Helium in Portland, Oregon. The Helium Comedy Club in Portland, Oregon. Brad will be there Thursday through Sunday. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. American Vandal, of course, is out right now on Netflix. I am in that. It's awesome. Please go watch it. It was just announced that the Hulu comedy, animated comedy, Crossing Swords, that I'm doing a voice in, is is coming out on Hulu next year. Me, Seth Green, Tony Hale, Wendy McLovin, and Breckin Meyer and Adam Pally. It's going to be fucking amazing. It's claymation, like the Robot Chicken style. So I can't wait for that. And of course, She-Ra, that I am a voice in. She-Ra's Talking Horse Sidekick, Swiftwind. That drops on Netflix in November, so be on the lookout for that as well. A lot of great eps coming up. Ben Bailey, Paul Feig, Brent Morin's coming back finally. Can't wait for that. Thomas Lennon, we just locked in a date for. So make sure you subscribed on iTunes. And give the podcast a 5-star rating. Comment on the iTunes page. And get all your ALN merch at aboutlastnightpodcast.com. Adam Ray merch at shopadamray.com. And I think that's it. All right? Now we've got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the Goo Goo Dolls.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
I've done gigs before where they said, hey, you have to do this one joke from your special like 3 years ago, and I have to like go to YouTube and like watch the joke again to be like, how the hell did I do that? Like, do you guys have to do something like that with the songs? Like, you gotta read old lyric books and be like, what the hell is that thing?
We had to reprint a lot of lyrics and then just go to YouTube like you were saying and just see some performances, how we actually did it, because it's kind of, you know, it's difficult.
Yeah, it's completely out of sight, out of mind, and you're not aware. And some people that don't, you know, write jokes or write songs, they're just like, how do you forget a joke? It's like, because I've written a lot of them.
About 10,000 jokes.
Yeah, well, I got so many hits, it's tough to remember.
I mean,
I remember years ago we were rehearsing in LA here, and it was right before the first big Kiss reunion. And I remember Ace Frehley was out in the hallway with a guy, kind of showing him how to play the Kiss songs. And I thought to myself, how could that ever happen?
Yeah.
But my goodness, you do forget.
Yeah. Has it happened?
I did a gig with probably the biggest rock star in the world.
Who's that?
Cher.
Cher.
All right. We all have different definitions of biggest.
Okay. She's maybe the second biggest rock star in the world. And he had a teleprompter. And it was
really?
I was like, what? What?
Was that kind of like a letdown where you're like, oh, I thought you just...
Yeah,
like...
I was kind of like, wow, man, I don't need a teleprompter yet.
Yeah.
You know, but yet.
But also, I guess also if it does get to that point, like, and you want to keep doing shows and that's the one thing getting in the way, then might as well, but...
Well, we also don't get all the words right.
I don't either. I'm just like, honest to God, we just got back from Europe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like over there... I was purposely just doing the hambone in Castle.
Was there any strange looks on the faces?
No.
Did you get any tweets or were people just like?
They're just like, yeah. Das gut.
Well, and you guys are you guys actually just got when I Googled you guys to when I Googled the Goo Goo, which don't rent that tape. And I was looking up stuff that was recent. Like you just made the news for something you said about Beyonce and the TRL photo shoot.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Because it was the TRL class of 99.
Oh
photo
yeah,
shoot.
Oh, the old class
of
99.
She came walking down the stairs.
Yeah.
With the other two nameless people, whoever the hell they were.
Shout out to Destiny's Child.
I was like, and
that's how the Goo Goo Dolls got their name, because that was the sound you made when you saw Beyonce.
Hi, Goo Goo.
She was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
It is strange how there are some people that are just like when people say like, oh, she's a 10, you're like,
yeah.
Like, no, because I've seen a 10 and I couldn't talk.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't.
Right.
You can't. Basic bodily functions don't work on
you. She had an aura, and then she knew who I was, and I was just like a double.
So she just comes up and goes, oh, I like that song you do.
Yeah.
No, she said, hi, Goo Goo Doll.
Singular.
And I was like, yeah. And I was like,
Beyonce recognition has got to be the best recognition, right?
Yeah.
That's a good one. Well,
it also sounds like a Harrison Ford movie.
Yeah, Beyonce recognition. Yeah. Beyonce recognition.
Yeah, sure.
Like the butterfly effect.
It is amazing to look back at that photo and see, like, that photo is 19 years ago.
Yeah.
And how many people are still popular?
I don't know.
Because you have you guys, you have NSYNC, which is like maybe like 3 out of the 5 guys, yeah, 4 out of 5. Yeah. You know, which is pretty good. You have Jennifer Lopez, who arguably might be more popular now than she was back then.
Right, right.
And who else you got? Christina Aguilera.
Lenny Kravitz.
Britney Spears. Lenny Kravitz.
Diddy.
Yeah.
Fred Durst.
You know, not everyone's still around. I was about to say, I think Durst was the only one, you know, that didn't stick around.
Do you know what's crazy, though? Yeah. I just learned this. Fred Durst directs movies.
What?
Movies?
He directs movies.
Yeah, I had the same reaction.
He's directing a movie called Moose with John Travolta in it.
What?
That's so figure. Weird.
Right. I'm like, what's going on? What kind of weird Scientology? Yeah. There's something really bizarre happening.
Wow.
Here.
I mean, yeah.
You know, whatever.
And
God bless. I'll probably go see it.
Yeah, if it's got John Travolta and a moose.
Yeah.
As a moose.
Finally.
As a moose.
That is crazy to look back. Like, when you guys were going on TRL, that was like when it was in New York and the big crowds would form outside.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 34, and for people my age, like, TRL was everything.
Right.
You would run home, watch the countdown, get so upset when the Backstreet Boys were beating Korn. And I'm like, no, Korn is a real band, man.
Yeah.
Write their own songs, play their own instruments, not this Backstreet crap. And now now, if you ask me what band has do I have more of on my iPod, it's definitely Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet Boys, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Compared to Korn.
You know, some stuff ages better.
I don't know any Korn songs.
Oh, you know what?
Thank you very much.
I don't think you've lived.
I've heard them. I know I've heard them.
Yeah.
We did play with them once.
We did play. Yeah. We opened for Korn once.
Yeah.
That was
where?
A really horrible miscalculation.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that those genres of music don't exactly blend.
In Phoenix.
So everyone's hot.
They were throwing bottles and cans at the stage, and then they started the lawn on fire and they were ripping seats out.
My God.
So we were like, thank you. Good night. Korn's done next.
Now,
can you imagine if those were your fans? Like, do you ever just have a moment where you're like, man, thank God our fans are like cool and like into tunes
are
and awesome, aren't like trying to, like, when I say guys at the Chateau, the what? Yeah, what? Yeah, what's it called? The winery.
Was it when they were all drunk? Was it
the
one
but
where
like
everybody
drunk and fun?
They were drunk and fun, but they were carrying people out to the ambulance.
I did see that. Yeah,
there was some people passing out.
Well,
from all the free booze.
Yeah, if you're getting alcohol poisoning from Pinot Grigio, you probably shouldn't be going outside.
True. It's a long day.
Yeah,
yeah, but I think it's a testament to the kind of music you guys put out there, where you put out like fun, positive music, and then so your fans are.
If you don't read too deeply into it.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. Yeah.
I'm sure if you read the lyrics and then go through it and you're like, this song was
just
like
slit your wrist.
Yeah. Are there any songs you have where you look out in the audience and people are like smiling and swaying and you're like, this song was about a cousin that killed himself. Like, why are you guys doing this?
Yeah, a little bit. But you know, that's the thing, you know, about songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like you have the license to be a little vague.
Yeah.
You know, you can just say shit and go, well, this is what I meant.
Yeah.
Like, what was that new song you were showing me this morning? I'm a cow bitch.
Oh, yeah, I'm a cow bitch or something.
Yeah, it's like,
I'm
what?
A cow bitch. No, it's not one of our
no,
new
no,
songs.
No, no, no.
I was
going
to say, it's just
who has taken a turn.
Yeah.
I was like, is this one of the songs you forgot
bitch,
the lyrics to that's going to be in the new
I'm a cow.
Yeah, bitch, I'm a cow.
Bitch, I'm a cow.
Yeah.
Moo.
Yeah.
And that's like the most popular shit
it's
out there right
24
now.
24 million plays.
Really?
Or something, yeah.
And is it like a person in a cow costume?
Yeah,
or is
green
it
screen
at one
and
point,
some booty shaking around.
Yeah. At one point, I mean, she's drinking a milkshake.
Okay.
And at
she's got
one
French
point,
fries
she's got
in
French
her nose.
Fries sticking out of her nose. It's
hilarious.
It's almost as popular as did you ever see the, can I say this?
Yeah.
Sure. I'm not sure what you're
going
to say.
Well, I don't want, you know.
We can edit out anything.
Okay. There's a video on YouTube called Let Me Smell Your Dick.
Oh yeah.
I actually know that one.
Yeah, search
you
that.
You know that one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
And yeah. I'm like, they gotta be serious.
Why
are
you all alone,
serious?
Not on the phone? Yeah, right. Smell your dick. That's yeah, I know that song.
Ooh,
yeah.
Smell your dick.
Yeah, it's all.
It's unbelievable.
It's all about a woman saying, like, I'm gonna find out that you're cheating
by smelling your penis.
I'm gonna smell your dick, and wow. It smell like another woman, which yeah. I'm like, I think there's better ways. I think there's better ways.
I don't
ways
think
to
there
out.
Is. I actually think it's a very poignant yeah. tune.
It might be the.
Now, is there a follow up? Like, is there a dude version?
Is there, yeah.
Who's going to sing
what's
it?
What's the dude version? No, yeah. You can't
yeah,
say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you can't.
I mean, climate. Yeah, do you guys see that and you see it get popular and you're like, well, maybe we can write a.
Yeah.
A weird.
Like, I'm a goat, bitch. Like,
I'm a goat, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you, there's the hook.
That's the hook.
Yeah.
That's what the world has come to.
Yeah.
It's got to be interesting for you guys when you see, like YouTube hits where you're just like, wow, I sat in a dark room for how many hours to write, yeah. to write Slide or to yeah. write Black Balloon, and now it's like, that's what a hit is.
Yeah, yeah, but like, you know,
smell your dick, right? Yeah.
But also,
that
what's
took
that?
A lot of work.
Yeah, let's not downplay the effort that went into smell your dick.
But I'm a
he was like, let me
I'm
smell your cock, let me smell your penis.
Cow.
Like, yeah. What word do I go with?
Yeah,
let me. I know there's so many choices.
Yeah. But also, like, there's a shelf life for that type of, like, when you say hit, even it's like, I mean, yeah, for what, a couple weeks? Like, that's there's no.
I mean, that's the way the world's going. Though.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the way the world's going. So I want to talk about you guys, though. Are you guys?
Yeah, we're good.
You guys are great.
Yeah,
we're touring.
You get married. You guys are touring. Do you tour together or separately?
We do. We're doing some live podcasts coming up all over.
So where do you do those? Like at a big bar or like a nightclub?
Yeah, like our live podcast coming up is at a Stand Up Live in Phoenix.
Oh wow,
it's gonna be like 600
seats. When is that going
to
be?
October 26th.
Oh, okay, because we're going to Phoenix.
I know.
In a couple of days.
I know. I'll be there.
You're gonna be there. Cool.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Cool.
It's gonna be fun.
Live
podcasts are. I mean, you know, like this is so fun. So when we do it and there's a huge audience, it's basically you know how we are when we're doing stand up. But then like you get to do, you know, it's a different muscle, but it's like it's almost more fun in a way because you're getting to play off of somebody.
Yeah, right. You get the reaction.
Yeah. And then we have like you know the guests on the live ones, and we do some music stuff. And
And then
that's awesome.
And then Adam just got done shooting a movie.
Yeah,
are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it's like secretive or something.
You think I'm that popular?
Tell us what's
don't talk about anything I do.
Now, what's the name of the
I'm
movie?
It's called Travolta Fucks a Moose, and it's directed by Fred Durst. Oh, I think I just gave the title away. All right, and the synopsis. All right, well, you know what? It's still going to be exciting.
Spoiler
it's
alert.
It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, but the road, I mean, like how, you know, Brad and I are on the road pretty consistently, and when you guys have like a break, is there like a different mindset that goes from like how many weeks before do you have to wrap your head around like, all right, going back out, like what's your routine like?
I mean, we've been working so much that I've really only been home like at the most like 4 days, five days.
Yeah, we never
which
get
is
much
like,
of a break.
Like when you go home, when you're gone all the time, right? And you have a wife and a kid and that, it's like I go home and like I feel like I just interrupt the flow of life.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm intruding on my own family. Like I feel like I should go stay at a hotel and just like come over and visit.
So your kid just like looks up and goes, "You're here?"
I mean, the novelty of me hasn't worn off.
Right.
Okay.
So me and her have a great time.
That's awesome. Good.
But, you know, but she's crazy.
She's how old now?
She's crazy. She's going to be 2 years old.
Oh my
God. And she's crazy.
Yeah, when they get crazy.
And she tells me that all she ever says to me, Daddy, I go kick the dog. I go kick Roscoe.
I think your kid might be a serial killer.
Yeah,
I mean, she starts harming animals.
She defends her territory. Like she puts her little fists up and goes. Whoa.
Yeah, I came over the other day. She whipped her bunny on the ground. Yeah. like
she whipped her bunny. She puffed her chest out. She gives you the fists, and I'm like,
these are pre-wrestling moves.
It's her mom when she was born.
Yeah. You know what?
She's from Brooklyn.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. When the kid yells out, "Brooklyn, bitch!" Like you know, that's maybe a little like. Wow.
I keep wondering about influence. My wife and I were talking about this, right?
Yeah.
Because like Staten Island thing is, you know, no matter who you are, you know, any ethnicity, you ask everyone a question.
Sure.
And I'm like, listen, we got to get this shit straightened out right now because she's not asking nobody a question.
And, there's an S in that word.
Yeah.
And she, and she has to pronounce
she's
it.
Got to get that straight. Yeah. Like her sister or everybody says axe. It's a Staten Island thing.
That's so crazy.
You know, and I'm like,
Not so much.
Not gonna happen.
Will she come on the road?
She's coming. She's actually coming out with her mom for about a week.
Awesome.
You know, so we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Has she seen you perform? Has she been cognizant of it? Or
she only seen videos of me perform?
Okay.
And then she goes, "Daddy." And
okay.
And that's it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
it's a good start.
She's not impressed though. She's not impressed. Robbie's daughter comes out a lot.
Yeah, she's coming out for a week.
Oh, that's awesome.
Beginning of the tour. Yeah.
Because we fired fired a production assistant.
Yeah.
And you knew
there wasn't money in the budget for a real one.
She's gonna clean the dressing room.
It's about time. It's about time the kid got a job.
Yeah, get to work already.
Yeah, she's been coming, you know, for a long time, seeing the shows.
Six is enough of an old enough to be able to like.
This is our first solo venture, actually. Yeah, we've never done it solo before, so.
Mama's not going to be there.
Yeah, so we're.
She's probably pumped about that.
She is,
right?
Actually. Yeah, and we're taking her out of school. She's just pumped.
Oh my God! This is the dream situation. Yeah.
Greatest dad ever.
Just don't like leave the gummy bears around.
Or check them for
now. Is she aware you play music? Has she shown any interest in music?
Oh yeah,
She's six.
I wanted to make sure that she knew what was going on from super early. So so John was awesome enough to let me have her like right in the heat of stuff, you know, like right in the mix.
That's
you know?
Awesome.
So she'd be right out on the stage, you know, just kind of watching what was going
during
on
during shows.
Yeah, I mean,
not on the stage.
She's standing in the wings.
She
picked up a bass every now and
but
then.
But I wanted to.
She always lasted like 3-4 songs. Yeah, and she'd be like,
she'd be like bored, fall asleep. But I mean, I wanted her to know it. You know, I did when I was out here. You know,
and she wants nothing to do with it.
No, she's right? She likes to play.
Now there's I know Eddie Murphy started like doing the Shrek movies because he had the kids and he wanted his kids to be able to watch the movies that he's in. Do you guys ever like? Do you ever cross your mind and be like, let's do a kid song or let's go on?
No.
Like, no, nothing
well,
like that.
Well, we're already on Sesame Street.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, well.
You can't really it's everything's downhill after that.
Yeah, that's the top of the mountain.
Once you've been on Sesame Street. I mean,
if you did Fraggle Rock, like, that almost feels like a step down, though, you know? It's like, oh, there's no Cookie Monster here? All right, well, then what are we doing
here?
We
got counted by the count, the whole thing.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you get emotional going on that set?
It felt weird.
Yeah. Breaking the fourth wall a little bit.
To see the Snuffleupagus.
Hanging
from the ceiling.
Oh, God. Like, what are they doing? Like, what's happening this season?
He talked back to Big Bird.
Yeah, that's Mr. Right. Hooper's like, it's my fucking shop. You're like, all right, doesn't mean you have to cut them up, man. Kids are still watching.
Yeah.
One sliced up Snuffy. You're like, all right, that's not a good way to teach them numbers.
Yeah. It's fun.
And then you guys just a few nights ago, in terms of you arriving on pop culture, you were an answer on Jeopardy.
Yes, we were.
Second time.
Yeah. That to me is like cereal box, like your own shoe shit. Like that's like, right?
Well,
like,
when I saw it, the first thing I thought was, fuck you, Trebek.
Really, honestly, can I be honest? I think that every morning when I wake up. Like, I don't know where it's coming from.
Like,
but
I was really like you fucking knew. No, you didn't know.
He's saying like, yes, I am a huge fan of the Goo Goos.
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, and now we
have a scotch and soda now and then.
Were you?
That's a good Trebek.
How did he read the lyrics? I know, like the question was he was reading the lyrics to Slide.
Yeah,
and then like, did he put any inflection?
No,
on it whatsoever?
No inflection whatsoever. He was very Canadian about the whole thing. You know.
Now, does that still get exciting for you, or at this point is it like that's all that's old?
When you've been doing what the hell we've been doing for as long, it's like when. Yeah, when they play your music in a supermarket, you're fucking psyched, you know? Or
yeah,
like,
cool.
Or like, whatever, it doesn't matter. Just the fact that anybody's even paying attention is amazing.
Now, if you are in a supermarket and they start playing your music, do you try to duck out of that supermarket so you're not like the guy that's like rocking his own band's t-shirt?
I act like it's not happening.
Okay.
I just act like it's not happening. Just like I plead ignorance.
Yeah. I met some friends at the Improv for dinner one time and my friends picked out the table. And they picked out the table to where I was sitting underneath my photo. So I just look like an asshole that was like, somebody recognize me.
please.
Yeah, that's what a pretty... dick to be sitting below your own photo. Like that's oh shit.
Oh, oh shit. Oh, wait, no, wait, we're doing that right now.
But you guys okay, so you guys are on the road all the time and I'm fascinated by your lives.
Yeah.
I am. I really am. Really? Because it's there's a lot of parallels.
Of course.
But it's also very different because I think
we're by ourselves a lot more.
You're by yourself. Yeah. So I would imagine that the temptation to do the drugs, to hook up with anybody who will talk to you,
sure,
the whole kind of thing is there more. Yeah. But you know, because at least you know we can call somebody and be there. But you guys travel. You guys got a bro that travels.
Yeah, we try to bring somebody on the road. That's I mean, it always makes it more fun.
Yeah,
like I think we both gotten conditioned enough to be able to like you know find a routine of like. You know, if we were in, like, Brad was just in St. Louis, and what were the things, the museum you found?
Oh, this museum that is just a, it's basically like a massive ball pit. There's a bunch of nets and ladders and shit. And, of course, all the parents are watching their kids climb through it. Meanwhile, I'm climbing through it. I'm the oldest person at this thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and, like, kids are looking at me like, how'd that one get a beard? How long have you been stuck here?
How long have you been stuck here?
I can't find my way out. Yeah, there was a 10-story slide. Oh,
wow.
10 stories.
A 10 story
like,
slide.
Like, there's only so long you can woo. You know? After like 6 stories, you're like, I'm all wooed out. Like, yeah, I can't.
Get me off this thing.
Yeah. But you just find things in every town where, whether it be food or an activity or something that kind of keep you busy.
It also, contributes, I feel like, and you can probably attest to this, like, for the show that night. Like, when you feel like you've immersed yourself in a city and then you can, like, you know, have a new bit about it or something to talk about. It definitely connects you with the audience a little.
So if you get
quicker.
To explore a town a little bit before you play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you feel this sort of a bit more connected.
For sure.
And then the people in the audience. Yeah. And then the people in the audience are so psyched. Yeah. And I'm sure you guys have experienced this where if you say, like, if you go to Philadelphia and, like, you go, like, hey, you know, like, I went to Pat's, Robbie went to Gino's, you know, like, they know our cheesesteak places. Yeah, yeah, you know, like, they go nuts. Just this added connection that you then have with your audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not having a buddy is, I mean, I think we still, you know, then it just becomes more of, like, the show and then getting work done and for me, like, catching up on sleep. But,
right.
But yeah, I mean, I definitely envy you guys having like the built-in buddy.
But like, how many nights a week? Like when you go to a club, how many? Like, is it like you just do one set and you're out?
No. We're like, I'm gonna leave tomorrow. Go to Memphis for Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Memphis.
Do shows,
that's nice.
And then Sunday drive over to Little Rock and do a show in Little Rock that night, and then come home Monday and go back out Thursday the next week. Wow. So, you know, it's like three 4 days on, three 4 days off.
And that's, I leave
that's
for...
That's not bad.
No, I mean, it's... And I leave for Buffalo tonight.
And there you go.
Where are you playing in Buffalo?
The Helium Comedy Club.
Really?
It's the one club there. Right, Brad?
Yep.
Yeah.
They don't have anything else.
Yeah,
so
there's not much else.
Yeah, and then you guys just sold out. You just added a third show there?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's got to be
that's
fucking
insane.
Cool. Like, you go crazy home
is,
and...
Crazy
it's mostly
is.
Relatives.
Monday night, relative show. And then Friday, Saturday, let's make some money.
You know, this tour is for the 20th anniversary of the Dizzy record. And the last time we played this same venue 3 nights in a row was the last show of, or last set of shows of that tour.
No
the Dizzy
way.
Tour. Yeah, so it's kind of cool that we can still do it.
That's extra special.
Yeah. 20 years later. Yeah,
I don't think so. We also got stuck there because there was a snowstorm.
In Buffalo?
Yeah.
Go
does
figure.
That, yeah, does
go
that
figure.
Happen there?
Dude, I've had this is my first winter back east.
Okay.
And it was fucked up, man. It was really fucked up.
Wow, that's how you know you've been out of Buffalo too long.
I went and got a snowblower, and of course I had to get, you know.
Yeah,
I'm the guy that likes to be fully accessorized. So,
sure.
So I got the badass.
Oh yeah,
like,
dude.
Drives itself.
You got like the Tim Allen of snowblowers.
I put it in reverse and pinned myself up against the garage.
Does it have a pod?
Honest
Does
God.
It have a pod that you're in?
No. I didn't go that far. I didn't go, but I got the heated handles.
I got
the heated handles.
I got heated handles.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's a track drive, but I literally
gotta get myself
put
that
it in reverse
money.
And I hit the button and it pinned me up against the garage and I'm going, ooh!
Well, so now when you have a song on the next record called Snowblower, we'll know what that's about.
You know,
now, how hard does it...
You pinned me in life.
But it's fun using it. It's fun using it.
And, yeah. How hard does it blow? How hard does it? I guess I walked into that.
You know, no.
I mean, it's pretty far.
Yeah,
I gotta say.
You pay for
I
what
mean,
you
it's
get.
Heavy, man.
Yeah,
it's heavy.
This and there's that shit. Much snow that needs to be.
Oh fuck yeah! It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah.
So like, have you ever been like legitimately trapped?
No. That's Buffalo snow.
Yeah. Oh, I have been. That's oh, yeah, Buffalo. Absolutely.
We had to hang jump out the second floor window. Yeah. And this is the truth. There was a snowdrift up against the side of our house where we were living. Okay. And we were pushing on the door and couldn't get out. So we had to hang jump out of the second floor window. And I swear to God, you got to swim. And you're swimming through the snow. You got to keep your arms moving. Wow. Until you get out of the snowdrift.
Oh my God. As a 4 foot man, that absolutely terrifies me. I would not survive. How'd Brad die? Snowdrift, Buffalo. 3.5 feet off the ground. We lost him.
Johnny would have saved him, but he was pinned against the garage.
He was trying to snow blow him out. Now, when you guys are doing, like you said, it's the 20th anniversary of the Dizzy Up the Girl.
Yeah, which, by the way,
Thank you very much.
Unbelievable.
Still great. And
very awesome.
So for the shows, you're playing the album from start to finish,
start
right?
Start to finish, in the order, chronological.
Oh, yes. Sick.
Glorious.
And this is something that I've noticed that some bands are doing where, like, I saw Offspring play the whole Ixnay on the Hombre album. I saw U2 had the Joshua Tree tour. Mm-hmm. It's like this trend now where, like, bands are playing albums from start to finish. And I really like it because I feel like, especially now, people are just obsessed with singles and not albums. And like, when you have that album, did you pick the order of the songs for a reason? Like, did it have a flow? Did it have a logical step?
Yeah. I mean, it had a flow and a logical step. This is the kind of thing now where the world is so singles oriented, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Like that I listened back to that album, and all those songs were written in you know, a piece of time.
Yeah.
So it was like from October to, you know, January, I wrote those songs.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to see the threads that run through all of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's not that it becomes a concept of any sort of thing, but it definitely is a mood.
Yeah,
you know? And that doesn't exist now.
Yeah, I'm sure it like you say, it's a snapshot of a moment of your life. And I'm sure when you're playing those songs, you go, oh yeah, that's why I wrote this song, or that's what I was going through at that time.
Yeah, I was playing one of the songs off the album, and it triggered a memory that Robbie still owes me $20.
Oh,
when we were making that album.
Because Robbie owes me money.
But I was playing, he was singing, and I went, that fucker still owes me money.
and that's why we're here. Robbie, do you have something that you want to
add? This is an intervention.
We'll talk about it in the hallway.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
I did want to ask that, because that's super interesting to me that, like, you know, when you're... and probably just the nostalgia of the tour and everything that comes with the 20-year anniversary. Like, how many flashback moments do you have during a certain song, like, to the moment that you wrote it, or that you a conversation about a certain lyric? Like, do those things exist?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty crazy, man. Because it does. It's kind of like, it's almost like PTSD.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you hear it and then all of a sudden, it's 1998.
Yeah.
Like,
that's so fucking cool, though, right?
It's kind of, most of it's really cool.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And it's a good PTSD.
Really, it was a fun time. It was a weird, heady time, because it was the first time we really had any money to make a record. And that was when we first came out here, and we had a little bit of cash. We first moved out to LA and we were single.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was getting divorced, so whatever. But but it was, I mean, it was, LA is an awesome place to be young and have a few bucks and be single.
It's pretty doesn't suck.
Look at Bieber.
It's the greatest place on earth for that. Right,
is.
Robbie?
Well, we weren't living like large. Like, we were living in the Park La Brea, you know? Like, we weren't living large, but
no,
like,
man,
but, like,
there were
palm,
but
like there were palm trees and stuff.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But
I got thrown out of North. Remember that? Remember the club over there?
Oh,
it's high now.
Oh,
yeah. I remember I was actually able to get into that place through the velvet rope.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
And then they threw me out.
I mean, that kind of completes the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Finally got in.
Yeah. I finally got in, and then I got.
Yeah.
In.
We wore out our welcome at most of those places.
So we started. We had to start hanging out at places like the Powerhouse because no one gave a shit.
Oh, the
Power. You just puke on the floor and order another beer.
Powerhouse is still there, man.
It's still there, man.
It announced like 4 years ago that it was going to close, and then like there was some massive like people were just like save the Powerhouse, and there was like crowdfunding and now
so gang of hobos.
Yeah, so and I'm just thinking to myself, like, you know, there's really really good bars in LA. Like,
yeah.
I get this nostalgia, but they're like, yeah, that place where we went and puked and tripped in the puke and then
go out in the back alley and smoke weed. You
know? How does that change the writing process or even just the making of the album when
smoking
you're saying
weed?
Well, yeah, for sure that. But like you said, having money to finally make one versus not.
Because you get to fuck around.
Okay. So it's because
you get to,
time.
You get to do things like, you get to buy more time and you're like, hey, let's call the guy from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and see if he'll play keyboards on it. You know, and then
just
you can pay
because
him.
You can.
You know what I mean?
And if you can't do it till X amount of day, then you can't have time to it. I guess it's comparable to making a movie, right? Where you're like, if we have this amount of money, like Apatow has all the money in the world, so he can spend a week on one scene and hit it from every angle and every take because...
But sometimes, see, that works to your disadvantage.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of times it's like, if you have too many choices, you're going to...
probably not make the right one.
Yeah. Whereas if you have two or three choices that you have to pick, you're going to be more decisive, and I think the flow is going to work better.
Yeah.
You know?
Where did you guys record? Did we already ask this? Record?
We did it at a place called Track Record.
Yeah, Track Record.
Over on Vineland.
Oh, nice.
Some building you can't even... Like, we were in the studio. We were in the back studio, and Snoop Dogg and a bunch of his... proteges were in the front studio.
Yeah.
And
every once in a while there'd be like a domino fight. I'll kill you.
I'll kill you.
Running guys down the hallway.
And the fridge is full of 40s and just smells like weed, and then somebody was always threatening to kill somebody else.
As a matter of fact, a car chase started at the
studio.
This
is honest to God truth.
Yeah, we were watching a television. There was a car chase on television.
Because you always kept the news running.
Yeah.
You know, all the time. I don't know why.
And that's why Slide is one of the most gangsta songs.
Exactly. But it's true. I mean, a car chase originated at the studio. It was like one of these guys.
Wow. Oh, it started there.
Oh, yeah.
It started right where we were.
Studio.
It was on TV.
No, it was on television.
Oh, my God.
We turned on the TV, and it's like, holy crap, that's that guy's car driving down the 101. It was...
As we were recording, that's crazy.
As you're playing the album back, start to finish to get ready for the tour, and everyone go get tickets because you guys are amazing live. Are you discovering songs again where you're like, oh wow, this is a good song.
Yeah. Well, we're doing a lot of like the second half of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The show's divided into like three sections. There's like the first section, then there's a little intermission where. You know, you do a couple acoustic songs, and then there's the back half of the show, and that's there's a couple of like quote unquote hits there, but it's a lot of older material. Like we're trying to go back. I think we went back as far as like the Hold Me Up record, which is the third album.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So we're doing like the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh album.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like getting in there.
Okay.
Like, and there was some cool songs back then.
Yeah.
You know?
Any songs where you kind of hear them again and you go, like, this song should make the rotation now?
Maybe.
Yeah?
Maybe. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting because some of it, you know, I'm singing and I'm just like, ugh. Fuck. I already said yes. But you know, how it is. I mean, what's, like, do you remember, like, are there... Like, what's the oldest joke that you've written that you can still tell?
My very first joke.
Your very first joke. What is it?
Yeah, my very first joke was a guy saw me in the airport, and he was a Middle Eastern man, and out of nowhere he just yelled out, "Oh my God, it's a demon! Get away from me, you little demon!" And then I ran after him through the airport, going like that, and I'm chasing this guy like through the airport. That was like that story really happened.
Yeah.
And
wow!
And when it happened to me, I wrote it down. It was the first joke I told on stage.
That's amazing.
Every now and then I bring it back just. So
just to feel it.
Yeah, and like if it gets laughs, I go, wow, the first joke I ever wrote
still gets laughs.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Do you feel like you add to it or you just do it as is? Years later you have a stronger point of view.
Yeah, you tag it, you add more stuff to it. And I imagine it's kind of like playing this album for you guys, where you played, you go, wow, this album's still good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I mean, you know, we had to massage the songs a touch, you know, to kind of make them fit into where our headspace
sure,
is.
Sure. You add a lot of auto tune.
No.
Have, John comes
we
out.
We had to slow a couple of them
down.
Yeah. Just
well, we yeah, well, yeah. well, we used to play like, so fast mm-hmm. that it was kind of
yeah,
hard.
You really did.
It's kind of hard to even play the songs, you yeah. know? So a couple like of them really slowed down sense. Just a little yeah. bit. Yeah. But, yeah.
How much of the show or set list will ever get dictated by, like, you, how you set it, like, for this tour, it's going to be set for every show the same, more or less? Or?
No, we're going to swap some songs out of the back half.
You have to, right?
Well, it depends, because if people want to hear some more newer material, or more well-known material.
Yeah, this is a bit of an experiment.
Like, this
yeah.
is really, because the whole thing could just go.
I mean, like you know, like yeah. probably 80% of the second half of the set are songs that you weren't on the radio.
Yeah.
So. They're B-sides. Yeah. Kind of deep cuts. But we're playing small theaters, so it's kind of like, well, these people probably know these songs. Yep. So we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes.
Will you ever, do people scream out requests, or will like yeah. the whole audience was screaming?
Yeah, and then you hope that they're actually like on the set.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you are, you pick it out.
You know what? Sure.
You know what? Yeah.
I do this all the time. I'll be like, anybody got any requests? And everybody will start screaming at once. I'll go, and it'll be the song I'm going to do. Like, yeah. I'll do that. I got for you, I'll do it.
Wow. That's amazing.
I probably
you're
shouldn't
a hero.
Have, you know.
But no, but at the same time, how special does that make that person feel? Because they're like, I influenced the show.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
They were going to play Name, but now it's something completely different.
Yeah. Are you guys? I hate to keep whipping it back.
No, you guys are the best.
Are you guys still doing college campuses?
Oh, yeah.
You are.
Yeah, yeah.
And have you had to deal with the PC booking agent
I once submit your set and then you can't do that joke. I started talking about how the president of the University of Michigan had a huge cock, and the entire student body loved
it. Did
you
really?
So, and then he stood up and waved.
Wow!
Like they put a spot on him, and I was like, "All right, I think this." Like, and that was like 3 minutes in, so I was like, "All right, I think I can pretty much do whatever at this point."
You're okay. So, is that how you test the water?
No, just something happened where somebody yelled something out, and then. And then something happened with, there was an interpreter, a signer, and then a mascot. And I was asking something about the present, how they picked their mascot and something else. And then somebody yelled something out about, somebody yelled it out that he has a huge dick. And then I was like, I wish he was here to confirm that. And then everybody was like, he is. Yeah. And then they put a spot on him and he stood up. And then I started having a give and take with
him. Gave you a helicopter.
Yeah, he was cool. Yeah. I'll prove
here it. There
it
is. Yeah.
But I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, it's.
There is some campuses that are a little strict. I mean, if you're doing one where they're like, hey, this is all, it's super a religious campus.
Right.
But even then, they're just like, don't get super political, don't get super racy, and don't, you know, some will even just be like, don't do rape jokes. And you're like, I mean, yeah, isn't that kind of like a
thing? Yeah.
And also, like you know, really. The guy I'm with, like, none of like our material's not that going on that path. But some of them, and then also they're sometimes just covering their backs because the act they might have got before you was so harsh one way that they're like, don't do that. So they tell you not to do.
Don't fillet the microphone. And you're like, man, there goes my closer. That's all I do.
Yeah, you know, because you hear a lot about like guys. I mean, you know,
Seinfeld said the colleges were just like
everybody expects it from the right.
Yeah, sure.
But now it's coming from the left too.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you didn't have the point of view that we. or you said LGBT but you forgot the Q, so now we're pissed off at you. Like,
is it really that bad?
There's some schools I haven't totally experienced some people. I've experienced it a couple times.
I think there is too, just even with like college kids, they don't have a full, you know, like point of view or like know exactly who they are yet. So when they hear something, you know, sometimes I'll see some people laugh and then other people like looking at them laughing and then kind of like join in because they're like, I guess that is fine. You know what I'm saying? So decide for yourself, kids.
I mean, there's always somebody who's going to be offended by what you do.
Of course.
You know? I mean, we've had the God Hates Fags folks out at our show.
Which is a badge of honor.
Yeah, it's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
God Hates Fags.
The Westboro Baptist Church. Yeah. If they could protest one of my shows. Yeah.
Oh, they've been there a few times. Yeah. They hate us, man.
That's got to make you feel good when you're pissing off truly evil people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You're like, good. I'm doing something right. So you talked about the Beyonce story. Is there any other celebrity where like you found out they were a Goo Goo Dolls fan and it kind of blew your mind? Like, oh wow, that person likes us?
No.
No? Not one?
Like no voicemails from
bands.
Like...
We were never one of those bands that like the celebrities all came out. We were never that cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Who? A lot of sports guys.
Okay.
Like we were hanging out with Mike Piazza the other night.
There you go.
He loves our band. A lot of athletes love our band.
Well, yeah, because it's fun kind of come down after.
But like Jennifer Aniston isn't showing up, you know, at our gigs.
Well, this is the opportunity.
With a case of smart water. You know? It's the least she could do.
Oh, guys. Oh.
Yeah, that's not
so you got no like Obama voicemails like, Johnny, Robbie.
No.
I don't want the world to see me either.
That's a pretty good Obama. I mean, it's not bad. That's really good.
We have met Obama, though.
What?
Yeah.
Met him.
Yeah.
We were supposed to... We opened for him right before the 2008 election. Mm-hmm. It was one of the last shows they did at the Universal Amphitheater before they ripped it down.
No way. Yeah, we met Kerry McCain.
Yeah. We did McCain. I got to say this. When I met John McCain...
Sure.
Right? We were on The Tonight Show.
Okay.
And... his daughter was there, and I'm talking to his daughter, Megan.
Who's now on The View.
Right, and he comes walking out of the dressing room, and he's stuffing his pants, he's stuffing his shirt into the front of his pants, right? Like, he's getting his shirt, and he buckles up his pants, he sticks his hand out for me to shake. And I shook it.
Of course.
And I'm like,
he knew you
how
would.
Are you?
Yeah.
You know? Like, and he was a very nice man.
I thought that's how rock stars say hello.
Yeah. They do. It's you gotta, you know, it's like a scent thing. You know, you try to get each little scent on each other.
Yeah, it's like a dog peeing on his yard.
Yeah.
You know, trying to mark your territory.
Well, McCain's let me tell you. Yeah. John McCain was peeing high on the telephone to pull that
in. I'm always curious, when you were doing the Tonight Show, that was the Leno Tonight Show, yeah?
Yeah.
Did he, like, when they come over at the end and he's like, go, go, dog, give it up, everybody, Robbie Jay. Like, what is he saying, like, in between when they... Is he sitting like, oh, you guys are really great. My daughter's a big fan. Like, what is he saying to you?
Small talk.
Yeah, I mean, we did that.
He was very aloof, but nice.
Yeah, we did that very show. Nice, but we did that show 17 times.
No. It was more than that.
It was like 19 maybe times. So times. By the end, the we sort of kind of really knew him.
Do you know what that makes?
We knew everybody that worked on the show.
Yeah. You know, at the beginning, it was very like, blah, 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 blah. But by the end, he was like, hey, I was Buffalo, you know.
Yeah. But the one time that I actually got him to talk to me, I was restoring an old car, and I said,
there you go.
And I said, you know, the inside of my car is really noisy. I want to deaden the sound inside the car. And he just went off on like a 15 minute, like,
sure,
blah, 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 about some shit called dynamat. You know, like,
Jesus, gotta put the dynamite in the car. Come on,
pretty good. Yeah. Gotta put the dynamite on, Johnny.
Yeah, but you gotta get the right.
We'll put on a jean jacket first, and then the dynamite.
He's got a little list.
Yeah,
there, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
He would hang out all day though.
Yeah.
He would.
Yeah, like Letterman would kind of like be in and out like the wind, you know. But like, you know, Leno would hang out all day. You'd see him around.
That's awesome.
Dynamite sounds.
As long as you wanted to talk about, you know, replacement parts for a DeSoto, he was in. You know.
What is the the whole process for a late night show? Is it, how like does it differ from setting up for a tour show? Like, is it sound check quicker? Is it like you just have to be ready to go? They set everything up for you.
Well, in the morning, the crew goes in. I don't know. There's like union things, so it's like they can set up this, but they can't touch that. Yeah, you know, you can set up an amp, but you can't touch the microphone.
Oh wow,
or whatever. You know, it's weird things like that. And then the stage goes dark because there's a union thing, and then. You play the song and they block the cameras, and then someone comes in with a podium and they go, okay, and then they introduce you, and then you run through it again, and then like, okay, see you at 6 o'clock, and then you go sit in a room.
you just
sit
eat
there,
a lot of carrots
room.
And celery in the veggie tray.
Right, a lot of hummus.
Yeah.
And you know, and then
Jay walks by. Do you guys get all the hummus? Is there any more hummus?
Like, hey, I was up in Buffalo. Dickie's Donuts up there. They love it.
Was there ever a late night crowd that was so like incredible that you were like, Jesus Christ, this feels like concert-esque enthusiasm?
Kimmel, you play outside.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, and that's fun.
That's,
you know?
Yeah, that's
got
show
like doing
vibes.
A real show.
Yeah, I think
like the big difference is the East Coast shows, they got to go out 3 hours earlier. So they're like, you know,
earlier.
So they're like, you know, like harried.
Yeah.
You know, the West Coast folks are just.
Yeah, it's a little more laid back. Yeah, but you know what's crazy though? This has got to be a weird thing for a comedian, because it used to be the tradition that if you got on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and he liked you.
Yeah, yep.
And you guys aren't old enough to have done this.
Well, we've seen it, though.
But like, it's, of course, you've seen it, but there's no format like that now. There's no guy that once he gives you his blessing, you're on your way.
Yeah, you go to the couch, yeah.
Like, yeah, right now, the closest thing the closest
is to be
thing
featured in the Can I Smell Your Dick video.
Yeah.
If you're in that,
then you're good.
Yeah, you're in the back. I made it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, honey.
Oh, my God, they just smelled Brad's dick. He's a star.
Yeah, come on over and let me smell you.
That was Jay's calling. Yeah,
come on over. Come on over.
Dick real quick. Yeah. That was his catchphrase.
He's really speaking to the youth nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, but there is an unfortunate. I mean, what you were gonna say?
I was gonna say probably the closest thing comics have now is if you're on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah,
and then that's a good one. And then he says, "Yeah, you're really fucking good." Then
he's amazing.
His fans.
Yeah,
yeah.
You see the Elon Musk.
I didn't see that. I didn't see
smoking.
That. But I love Joe. I'm trying to find somebody who can get me in touch with him because I need to have a conversation.
Oh, I'll hang out
at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Really?
Hang out at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, or I'll just give you the email of his
conversation
producer.
Conversation with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it.
He'd love that. You guys would have a great conversation.
Dude, that guy, I mean, he's
fascinating.
So he's a fascinating person.
Yeah.
I mean, you see his Instagram.
I mean, so are you guys. I do no social media.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've had enough of that bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm done.
So you don't know what it is.
You want to talk to me, call me.
Yeah.
I love that. I don't even want to be text anymore. I don't want to.
Just call. Have a conversation like a human being.
Because you know you're getting this shit, right? Call somebody. Bank to voicemail, then you text them 30 seconds later, they answer you right away.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
I know, that's crazy. Yeah.
I'm showing my age.
No, you're showing your authenticity to being a person.
And that's, but the thing is at least you're saying something that, because I've had that, I've definitely had that happen a few times.
It feels like shit.
Yeah, just call me.
Just call me and say, I don't want to talk right now.
Yeah, or just texting, hey, I'm busy doing this, or just whatever. Just don't do the thing where now you're having a full-fledged conversation after you just hung up on me.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I don't think you're showing your age at all. Okay. But speaking of the younger people, I'm always like interested with people that are in the music industry. Like, what bands do you guys listen to? Like, you're there, you got a Monday off, and you want to chill and listen to a record. What are you putting on right now?
Right now, I mean, there's always good music out there. There's always good music out there. You just got to dig deeper for it. There's a band called Small Black that I really like.
Okay.
And they're really good. And the Japan Droids, they've been around a while.
Yeah. Japan Droids.
Japan Droids.
Sounds like a Bond villain.
It could be.
Yeah.
You know, I've been listening to like all the old Springsteen records.
There you go.
Again, because and the Lectures of Joseph Campbell.
Rocks.
I'm a fucking
holy
rocker,
god.
Right. 10 p.m. driving down the 405. There's got to be people too, like young artists sending you guys song, right? Like just with the connectability with social, like, is there people sending you their songs through Twitter or something, being like, yo, check my stuff out?
Really.
Yeah, not really. That much, really.
So
not,
you're saying if I want to send you a track of me playing the bass clarinet to try to open for you, you wouldn't take it through Twitter, huh?
I wouldn't know how to get it because I don't look at any of it.
I mean, like, people tag us all the time, you know, they record songs and tag us or, whatever. But, not too much, really.
I'm pretty thrilled, though, when I hear a band that reminds me of us, like in 1992.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
okay.
It's like, and I'm like, wow, all
like,
right.
What do you hear that gives you that familiarity?
Just there's just sort of this sort of bright, shiny naivety to what they're doing, which is what we were doing.
Yeah, I just did a single. I just did a single when I was home with this band called Beach Slang.
Oh, hell yeah.
That sound a lot like us when we were kids. And it's just fun to hear that. You know? I mean, there's still people out there that play the guitar, for God's sake.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Guitar Center sells more DJ equipment.
Wow.
Do they really?
Than guitars.
That's depressing.
Is it going to turn into a DJ warehouse?
Listen, we're all DJs.
Everyone here is a DJ.
There's nothing special about it.
Well, Brad really was a DJ.
I was.
Could you scratch and like beat mix and all that?
I could scratch a little bit. I was in high school and my old junior high asked me to go back and DJ the dances because they wanted to save a bunch of money.
First of all, what do you think his DJ name was before he tells you? Okay. Let's play a little game called "What Was Brad's?" This is a fun game. There's no wrong answer. And also, don't feel like you're going to offend.
No,
or
you won't, because the answer is probably more offensive than.
I'm not going. What is it? What is it?
Count Cocula.
DJ. Fuck, damn, how'd you know?
DJ Count Cocula.
You
know?
Did your daughter go to the school or like that? That was crazy. You knew? No, I was DJ 4 foot.
Four foot
on the ones and the twos.
All right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You know, just
on the ones and twos.
Yeah. On the .5s and .75s. That's what I was on. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, just odd jobs.
What would you play?
Oh, so much 50 Cent. So, yeah, and that's how I have to say it. 50 Cent.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some guys who go out there and do crazy things, man.
For sure.
You know,
sure.
They manipulate music in ways that I can't even understand.
Yeah, there's some creativity to it.
Yeah, but I would say that's a good 20, a small 10, percent, 5, 3.
That actually manipulate the music live.
1% of them, yeah.
Because, I'm amazed. Like, I wanted to learn about EDM.
Mm-hmm.
So I got hooked up with these kids called Cash Cash. And they're really good. They're really good. And it's interesting what they do. And I went to their house and we were in their studio, and it was pretty amazing how they build a song. Like it's all about production.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and writing a hook. It's just all it is hook and production. And it was really interesting because they're really good musicians. And I thought to myself, these guys, you know, they're gonna be
hitting buttons.
Bullshit. And,
yeah.
You know, and there's a little button pushing and stuff. But I mean, I was surprised at what, like, really talented musicians.
So it's a good balance of it heavily is. Being produced, but the music is there to.
Yeah, and it's weird because I got to go out and sing a couple of songs with them at Coachella.
Oh, dope.
Because who the fuck's going to invite me to play my songs at Coachella? But so I went out there and I did it, and it was intense.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, these DJ guys.
Going nuts, huh? How'd the crowd react?
It was a sea of people. They actually knew who I was. It was like I was like their dad's friendly guy.
Yeah, buddy.
But
that's awesome.
But it was really intense, you know. And it's like, and it's interesting to actually get to meet people like that because you start to have a little bit more of understanding, of what's going on there.
Yeah,
and the depth that it could be carried to.
I mean, there's definitely some talented ones out there, but for my money, there's nothing that beats drums, bass, guitar.
Yeah.
Like, good lyrics, just actual people playing music, and just that raw emotion that you get from those sounds.
And lucky for us, that's why people still come to see rock shows, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we still can make a living and
absolutely,
you know, do this.
That's the best part.
Are you guys doing bus?
Yeah.
No, we're driving in 4 Cadillacs.
Well, you should be.
Just, you know, I just don't want.
U-Hauls, 4 U-Hauls.
Yeah. Now, do you guys do the thing where like you guys are tired of each other, so each person gets his own bus? Or
No. We tried that. We tried that.
Yeah.
We tried that because I wanted to drink alone.
Yeah.
So I was sick of these guys.
It was some dark times.
Yeah.
Got it.
Fuck it. I want my own bus. Yeah. And we had our own bus, and then I got lonely after like 3 days and came back to the bus with these guys.
What was that moment like?
We had an empty bus driving around with us.
Yeah. It was fucking awesome.
Did you come back? Was it like
that
a knock
one,
on the
that
door?
That one
like,
put a big dent in the profit.
Sure.
That's But
and then there's bans now. Like, I know Tool and Nine Inch Nails are like banning phones from their shows, where like they're having people put their phones inside cases and stuff like that.
Well, they can afford to do that.
Yeah, like
like seriously, they can afford to do that.
Just personally, I don't know why you would do that.
I don't know why you would do it. I don't know why you'd alienate your fans.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that.
That,
yeah.
And like, you know, they take a video and then they share it, and then other people say, like,
that's what drives your entire business now is people putting shit out there.
That's free advertising, right?
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it used to bug me, but I'm like, look, you better accept this. And what's really interesting to me is like Metallica and the Grateful Dead, they encouraged people to record their music.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they obviously the worked out bands in the world.
Pearl Jam, another one.
Pearl Jam's another one. Yeah. You know, I mean, so I think the more you open yourself up to that, the more you know, the more it works in your favor.
Yeah,
got it.
You know,
and then
but it's got to be hard for a comedian. Now let's switch this back.
Yeah, that's
because
you can't
do it.
Well, also same thing. Can you, like, you know, Chappelle does it? He can afford to.
But I understand that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because they just saw your show. Why the fuck would they come to see it again?
Also, I think he's, you know, there are a handful of guys at that level that there is you know, an immediacy for newer material,
right,
more so than, and an expectation, mm-hmm, more so than Brad and I. But you still want to feel like, you know, that if your stuff is, you still want to take that, have integrity as far as being like, you know, not letting people tape your stuff and put it up. But also, right, it's like,
sometimes your joke's not ready yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? You're still trying it out.
You know, I saw, it was weird. I didn't realize that comedians do this.
Mm-hmm.
Was it the Laugh Factory?
Yep. Yeah.
Around the corner?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I went there and we saw Eddie Izzard.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
But he was like working his material out in front of an audience.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this fucker ain't funny anymore.
Oh, right.
Like, yeah. I was like, this shit's not funny.
Yeah, that was his workout.
But
yeah,
he was working it out.
That's
what and
sets
I didn't,
during the week
I,
are,
I didn't
you know?
Understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
kind of interesting where, as a comic, you can't really, like, you can sit in your office and write a joke, great, but you truly don't know if it's funny or not until you.
Right.
Put it out there in front of that live audience.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I'm sure when you guys create songs, you're like, this is going to make them all jump up and down. And then you look out there like, oh, that is not the reaction.
Well,
that worked.
They didn't, nobody jumped.
I think also, too, there's a, like, Eddie Izzard being at a level where he's, you know, like Brad and I, you know, still coming up, like, on our sets, even during the week, like, we still want to do really well. So I don't think either one of us are at a point where our entire set is all stuff we've never said before because. That is still that takes a minute to get used to, and also for the crowd to like you enough to where they're like, all right, cool, I can see Chappelle go up and do 45 minutes of stuff he's never done, and guess what, there's gonna be peaks and valleys, but I'm okay with that because I know how great he is and I know how great this will be, but for us it's like there's still, you never know who's in the audience and you always just want to deliver it. You know, always, but
I, you know, and I mean it almost seems, I mean, so what do you do about people taping?
I call them out when I see. If I see someone hold up a phone, I'll usually count to 10 in my head.
Right.
Like as I'm telling my jokes. And then if they still have it up after 10 seconds, that's not a photo.
Right. Yeah,
that's a video.
Right,
so,
right.
So then I stop, tell them, and explain it. And like I said, like, jokes aren't necessarily done yet. You're trying stuff out. Stuff could be taken out of context. Whoa. You could say something that, like, yeah, if you just isolate that one piece of audio and you're like, that's why I think we should throw all babies in blenders.
Yeah.
You
know, and
then someone goes, like, throw all babies in blenders.
To be fair, that's one of your best jokes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, well, it will really help with population control. Let's think about it for a second. Yeah, like, so then you don't want that little bit of audio to be isolated, or if you're going into a more serious topic that is not quite ready, not quite funny yet. Yeah, you really kind of, I'm sort of hyper aware of that right now.
Now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you go near politics at all now?
No.
See,
I do not.
That's, we don't.
We don't either.
Yeah. We don't go near it anymore. And I used to always make jokes about it and talk about it. And we were always really involved, you know, raising money for whoever or whatever. You know?
Yeah. Would you? So you would like mid show or even.
Well, we slip. I mean, you know,
goes
I mean,
to John McCain right now. Yeah. Calling like, you owe me money.
You know, I mean, we slip sometimes.
Scratching his balls and then shaking my head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obviously, we have our opinions, you know, personal opinions, which you know leak out occasionally, but we don't necessarily make it part of the show.
And
you
now, before we play name, gun control. Let's talk about it.
Well, like, no, it ain't good. You can't do that.
Well, I saw Pearl Jam at Bonnaroo like 3 years ago, and. You know, after a couple crusher songs, Eddie Vedder just stopped and he goes, I just want to remind everybody to recycle and get out there and vote for your senators. And everyone was like, yeah, wait, what? Like, there's a shift in energy in it. And
right. Well, look, man.
Yeah.
People want to be entertained.
Yeah.
Like, and even more so, I think the burn on people now with the 24-hour Trump news cycle.
No shit.
It's just, I mean, it's a new soap opera every single fucking day.
I try to give people a place to go where they don't have to hear about that for a second.
I mean, you know, like, I once in a while just do this thing where in the show I'm like, okay, now everyone in this room, everything is fucking awesome in this room. Everything outside this room is insane right now.
Yeah.
But we're here, and let's just have a good time.
I think Michael Moore just got bit by that. I think he put that movie out, and I think people are just like, oh, my God, enough, man.
We're done.
Yeah. Jesus, we enough. Get it. You know? Yeah, it's not the way it was, you know. Back in the good old days when you could hate Bush and be a dissident, you know, like now it's like
no, people
it's
just, want music. And once again, Eddie Vedder can afford it,
of course.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I mean, he can say whatever the fuck he wants. Yeah, and you know, I guess he has the courage of his convictions. And I love Pearl Jam. I think they're an amazing band, but I don't want to listen to it.
You guys are good with his opinions with the mid show banter though, and just conversational and joke. Like, yeah, it's always fun. Which because I saw Celine Dion in Vegas about 5 months ago, and hey, one of the best voices ever. A lot of stand up. Like improvised. Really? I mean, I wouldn't call it stand up, I think, but it seemed like there was a set list of songs and then a set list of like, and then in between, My Heart Will Go On, and that's the way it is. I'm going to talk about how yellow my dress is and call myself Celine Dijon. Nuts. And guess what? I was just high enough to think that was fucking hilarious. But that being said, I was like, all right.
You
like,
don't strike me as the. Hey, I got tickets to see.
No, I was in Vegas doing a comedy festival. And my buddy goes, hey, he called me. He's like, my wife's supposed to go with me and she's sick and I still want to go. And I was like, dude, I don't know. I might go do this other show. And then he's like, I got a blunt. And I was like, all right, come pick me up.
And
it was incredible.
The right amount of chemical concoction can make just about anything entertaining.
I would imagine production, it's got to be a spectacle. You know?
I mean, dude, yeah, My Heart Will Go On. I mean, like, I think. If I wasn't crying, like I was crying on the inside, but she was just like floating above, like it was like fake backdrop rain and like arms extended. And I was like, I don't even think she's attached to a wire. She's really flying. And then people are like, you got to keep your voice down, man. Also, get off the stage.
Would you guys ever do like a Vegas residency?
No one has asked us, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all right. The money would be good.
Fun, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Come
they
on,
let you,
Planet
they let
Hollywood.
You do what
let's
they
get
want.
On it.
Yeah.
You know,
I would love to do that.
You know, just circling back to Celine Dion, she's got four of our Grammys, man.
Yeah.
We're up against her for four Grammys.
Yeah. Oh.
And she won.
She beat us for three of them.
Oh, three of them.
Three of them. And Santana beat us for the other one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, fuck. All right.
Celine Dion, Santana.
So one day we're driving down the road in our bus, and there's another bus next to us, and our driver says, hey, guess who's in the bus next to us? And we're like, who? They said Celine Dion. Oh, so man. we're like, get that bitch on the radio. So she actually got on the radio.
What? Yes. And she sang.
And she sang
CB radio.
What?
Or at least we like to think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so
well,
she didn't
sure
rub it in
like her.
I've got your Grammy.
Was she like cursing you out in French?
No, she sang like the Titanic song for us.
Oh my God.
Or the bus driver did an uncanny impression. But I have a feeling it was her.
Her bus driver has to sound like her. Just in case she gets that request.
Yeah.
It's on,
I mean,
it's
it
on a
very
rider.
Strange. I don't think Celine takes the bus anymore.
No, yeah, probably not.
No.
I'm sure she, you know, she's has a private Hyperloop or something.
That's incredible. You guys got your own private concert.
Yeah, you know.
That would be nice, though. That would be nice to be lazy and just, like, go to Vegas.
Hell
play,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just have your room be in the venue, like, and just go up. Yeah.
I hear they built her, like, some sick apartment. And,
yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah.
Pretty much.
At Caesars, yeah.
And then one of the guys in Boys to Men, they have a residency at the Mirage, and I don't know which one, but I heard from Jim Jeffries that he takes a like Rascal scooter from his room to the venue, so he's just like,
I mean,
zooming through the casino.
What has he got? Like, is his foot fucked up?
No,
from diabetes?
No. He's fine. No. He can walk. And someone asked him, and he's like, "It's fucking far. It's a far walk. I don't want to walk in and signing autographs the whole time.
Yeah,
and
no one's
singing into
knock
people's
me off
voicemails. I don't want to do that. So I got my souped up Rascal scooter, and I'm just jetting through the casino.
That's amazing.
Do you guys see
that's
those around? Living. Those scooters around? Do you have any like the ones on the side street? Have you ever grabbed one?
Oh, the bird scooters?
Yeah, the bird scooters.
I got killed by one this afternoon. I was walking
and
down Santa Monica.
You just leave them, right?
Yeah.
You just leave them.
You pick them up and then you just leave them.
Yeah.
I mean,
mind blown right now.
I am. My mind is blown.
I haven't done it yet, too, but I mean, I've seen them every day.
Yeah.
So many.
Yeah.
And I've seen people just get on them, but like, same thing, too. Like, there's no... there's almost like a newfound freedom when people are on those things. They're just like, respect the bird.
they go pretty fast, man.
Yeah,
like for the sidewalk.
Sidewalk etiquette is no longer a thing.
Yeah, I just want to hop on one so I know that if people saw me on a bird scooter, like I would cause at least 3 accidents. People are just like, the dwarf on a scooter!
Well, Brad used to ride up and down Sunset on the Funky Duck, right?
Yeah.
The hoverboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's incredible at it.
The two-wheel thing.
And he would go up and down Sunset and then come up the street to get to my apartment, and like literally like I would see people just staring at him driving. I was like, you gotta look at the road, man. I know this doesn't happen every day, but
I love the hoverboard.
Yeah.
I love that. I got the one with the big fat wheel right in the middle.
Oh, you can do it?
I can do the one with the two wheels.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is impressive.
It's awesome.
Look at that. Well, you don't do social media, but you're on a fucking hoverboard. That's amazing.
Well, you know.
Hanging out with the kids.
I bought it for my niece. And
then you're like, well, then.
She didn't seem too into it. And I'm like, get out of the way. Let me try this.
Just watch out, because I know Mike Tyson was on one of those. That's
what made me not want to get on one.
And there's a video of Mike Tyson on the hoverboard just going ass over tea kettle. Is that still a phrase?
Your grandmother. Visited your grandmother lately?
Falling on his back like hard.
He just hits you and just goes, oh my goodness. And he's just like,
I think I chipped my spine. I'm going to need to see a back doctor. I chipped my tailbone. The hoverboard's the worst.
This has been amazing. Yeah, so pumped for the tour.
I love this.
We want to close with a game that we made up. If you guys,
all right.
Wait, can we just plug one thing?
Jerry? Plug everything.
You're gonna be opening for us where?
In Arizona. At the Van Buren.
And what about any place else? I thought Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle is not anymore. But
no, why? That's where you're from. What the fuck?
I know. I'm trying to work it out.
Well,
so
just let us know if anybody.
But there's going to be there's hopefully more dates, right? Just any that you guys are down for. Okay, cool.
If we cross paths,
But this will be out before the Arizona one, so so for sure,
awesome.
That one, and all the tour dates are at googledolls.com, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen you guys twice now. It's a great live show.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Fucking live show.
You know,
and it's fun.
Songs
you know.
We see a lot of cool
songs you don't, but it's a great show.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
You guys bring it. It's like the true rock stars that that are still bringing it at that level. I know you guys, you know, obviously are being super humble about it, but
no, you know, I mean,
you bring
happy
it every time, and that's all you can ask for as a fan. You go, oh, cool. Did they give it their all
for
me?
Well, he's jumping around like fucking crazy. I gotta do something to keep up. So you know, otherwise I'm fucked.
Also, you feed off the crowd still. Yeah, I mean, it's
I love it. I love it. It's, I mean, so it's like, come on, man.
All right, so our game. Our game.
That's not good radio.
And
come on, man.
No, you said it all without saying.
What's the game?
Our game is called Goo Goo for You. Okay. Which I think we just
did. You just make this up?
No,
we spent weeks.
Who else have you had on the show? You played this game with
everyone. No, but because you put out all these albums, you done all these tours. We're actually curious if you yourself know Goo Goo Dolls trivia.
Okay,
probably not.
So we
bunch of fucking lies.
Well, some of these are questions that are, you know, probably you know, fan oriented, and then some are more personal about you guys.
Okay,
all right, here you go.
All right, here we. And sorry that we're going to be playing the instrumental to Iris in the background. You guys are probably sick of it.
Did the tech department work on this for a while?
Yeah. And how did you extract the vocal? This is some heavy shit.
Yeah. Oh shit, speakers on that side.
Okay, this is so high tech. You gotta see what he's doing.
I'm literally holding the microphone next to my iPad.
Right, you're blowing our cover of being tech savvy.
Oh my god, this is great.
All right, first question. Where did the band form?
In my dorm room?
Yeah.
At school after I sold Robbie some mescaline.
In 1986.
Wow. We also would have accepted Buffalo. Buffalo. That was a much better answer.
We microscoped it.
Got it. How many studio albums had you put out before Dizzy Up Girl?
Four.
Five.
The answer is three.
What?
Three.
The girl, no way. Yeah. No, what are, no? You, are you kidding?
That can't be.
Let's name them.
Well, there's Goo Goo Dolls.
Yep. Yeah.
Jed.
Hold Me Up.
Superstar Car Wash.
Boy Named Goo. Dizzy up the girl.
All right, well, then I'm wrong.
Fire the research department, okay?
I will fire myself.
Okay.
Which song reached number 21 on the Billboard charts on the album Boxes?
21.
Of 21? I don't know.
Rebel Beat?
I don't look if it's not top 20. So
no, that's, no, Rebel Beat was from the record before.
Well, it could have been. Wait, hold on. Wait, what song? What? I don't even
so
know
alive.
What song.
So Alive. Yeah. So Alive. I knew that.
Come on. Top 21?
I knew that, yeah.
What the fuck? We suck.
I knew that.
Johnny Resnick sang the theme song for which NBC show?
Oh, my God. Listen, first of all, I got paid.
Good.
I got paid.
Good.
I got paid every week.
Good. Also, are you kidding me? It's my dream to write theme songs. For
Yeah, I was just praying for syndication. Never happened. Good Morning, Miami.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
How did we could pull it? How did you? Well, I won't make you sing it. Will fans expect that song to make the rotation?
Never. never. It was humiliating.
You just isolated one dude who was like, that's where I was going.
He sang a great Mentholatum commercial.
I sang a Mentholatum commercial.
Yeah,
no way.
Yeah,
I did.
Mentholatum?
Yeah. Mentholatum.
Mentholatum.
In Buffalo, it'd say they go,
yeah, Mentholatum.
Hey, I need some Mentholatum. My head's kind of clacked up. Okay.
Was it catchy?
Of course it was.
It was. Everyone wants lips that stay soft and smooth every day. Everyone wants soft lips.
Yeah. How do we still remember that? And we can't
remember it.
And we can't remember anything from Dizzy.
75 like bucks. I got 75 bucks.
Oh, my God.
That, it was a catchy tune. It was, that's fuck, why.
Yeah, I was tapping my toe.
Yeah.
What is John's favorite food?
Pizza.
Hell yeah. What's Robbie's favorite food?
Weed.
No.
Now that you can eat it. See, well, now Robbie's covering his eyes because he knows his mom's gonna hear this.
Oh, she's gonna love it.
And Robbie is positive that his parents don't know
John's
he's
daughter is Hill. John's daughter is not cognizant.
Yeah. Hey, to Rob.
That's what's going on.
To Robbie's parents.
Are you worried about Hannah hearing this? Oh, okay. It was a joke.
To his daughter. Well, he doesn't smoke weed. Yeah. He's graduated to black tar heroin.
Yes.
Okay, now he's doing that. So it's fine.
The old black tar.
Jason's right.
No.
Where's the last place you both pooped?
Oh, my God.
This is for the fans.
About an hour ago.
Yeah, together.
We'll together.
Held hands in a stall, confessed your dreams.
I'm sure it was a truck stop somewhere between the cities.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta watch out for the truck stop.
Yeah,
bathroom,
you do. That was gonna be the next question. Like being Texas. On the road, all of us, like you definitely like get, like are you a homebody with that? Where you're like, man, I can't go outside the hotel. What is that?
Because we, mm-hmm. who he will remain nameless.
Yeah.
But we know somebody who works very closely with us who has to time his shits and he has to go back to the hotel,
yep.
yeah.
take a shit, and then he's got to take a shower.
After the shit? Yeah.
Every time.
What is he doing to that toilet?
It's a process. Man.
It's a bit OCD, but I understand him.
I understand the timing, yeah.
Wanting himself to be kissably fresh at all times. But, you know. If it starts affecting your social life.
I mean, yeah. Also, well, yeah.
I mean, and...
When is the last time you took a shit, Robbie?
Yeah.
What time is it?
I did. No, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you the last place I took a shit.
Yeah,
sure.
Actually, can we wind this up?
Yeah.
I can tell you the next place I'm going to take a shit.
Adam Ray's
bathroom.
Yeah, let's do it.
I got a lot of candles.
Yeah, you guys killed the game. You guys,
that's it. Yeah,
we did all right.
Won. We killed it. No,
good.
That's not good. We killed it.
We killed it.
It'll never. We destroyed it.
The first ever.
Like that bathroom in the Beverly Center. That I was in this morning.
Go see Dizzy Up the Girl on tour. Go see the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah, you guys
thank
are amazing.
You guys are awesome.
Thanks for making time.
We'll see you at the show.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah,
and,
buddy.
Thank you for having us again.
Anytime. You guys are always welcome.
This is awesome, what? This man. Is our third time on the show.
Third time. Yeah. So, yeah. And you guys are always killing it. And you're one of our favorite guests. And our fans always say, bring back more goo.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute. you're those guys on the wall.
Oh, I'm just trying to live a normal life, man.
Oh, shit, we're getting recognized.
You look like you're going to kick someone's ass, Adam. Like, you really do.
I know, my stoic look is also like, give me back my beef jerky.
It's just like, you look like, yeah, like you're going to fuck someone up. It's amazing.
No, thanks for having us.
You guys are the best.
Thank you, man.
So, that's the show. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.